Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Generally in life, there are no free lunches, but this day was different, and the news of an incredible miracle spread like wildfire. Today, the story of 5,000 people, multiplied loaves and fishes, and what it means to us. Please stay tuned. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is in a series on seven convincing miracles. Today, we turn to John chapter 6 and hear about Jesus, Lord of our daily bread.
I want you for a moment to think of the most delicious meal you've ever had. If you were to ask me, and I think this is true also of my wife Rebecca, we would say it was when we were in Alaska. We flew into a little place called Taco Lodge. But Taco Lodge didn't have any tacos. Taco Lodge had some wonderful, wonderful salmon that was prepared right as you waited. It was fresh. And if you were hungry, how good it tasted, how good it can be. But you know, in the message today, I want to point out that there is something even more important than that physical food, however important it is. Because what Jesus is going to want to say in this passage is that there is also the need for spiritual food, that we have within ourselves a soul that also needs to be fed, and I might underline that it will be fed by something somewhere at some place. And the question is, what is most important and how do you fill that other need? I speak today to those of you who feel alienated, to those of you who are dissatisfied. I speak to those of you who feel empty, for whom life is meaningless, and you have concluded that the world cannot keep its promises. And if you are looking for some sense of satisfaction and fulfillment and a sense of completeness and wholeness, you've come to the right place and you're listening to the right message. The text is found in the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John, John chapter 6. And I want us to take our cameras today and go to Israel. The tour that we will be going on is a little cheaper than the ones you sometimes find advertised in our bulletin. We're going to go to the Sea of Galilee. We're going to cross the Sea of Galilee toward the north, and we're going to meet there and see this large crowd of 5,000 people or more, and we're going to be actual witnesses to the miracle. So bring your camera. For today, a Polaroid will even do. We're going to take some snapshots and see what happened. First of all, I want you to notice you take a picture of the multitude. 5,000 and other passages of Scripture, and you know that this miracle is actually recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's the only miracle that is recorded in all the four Gospels. In this passage of Scripture in the book of Mark, for example, it talks about 5,000 men, and then another account says 5,000 men along with women and children. So we may be talking about 10,000 people, which is an awesome, awesome, huge crowd. And you'll notice as we open the text today, we find out that the disciples and Jesus are wondering how to feed the crowd. You know, it's interesting again to refer to Mark. It says, Jesus said to the disciples, give the multitude something to eat, whereas the disciples said, send them away and let them go to the villages that they might buy something. That would make sense, wouldn't it? How are you supposed to feed 10,000 people? You send them away and you hope that the shops in the area can accommodate their need and that all of them have some money that they can use to buy food. But there's another alternative, and that's in the sixth chapter now. Jesus crossed the far side of the shore of Galilee, it says, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The feast of the Passover was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he himself already had in mind what he was going to do. And Philip answered him and said, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." So first of all, the disciples said, "Send the multitude away." But Jesus was concerned about their welfare and their well-being. And then Philip did what many of us would do, is he probably took an offering and said, "You know, if we can get enough money together, maybe we can at least buy something." But we end up with about 8 months of wages, 200 denarii. And there was a denarii you received was a day's wage. And you add it all together, and there is not enough even so that everyone might get a little bit. How are we going to feed the multitude? So what he does is he looks at all of his resources, and he knows he can't do it. Well, there's a third possibility. Andrew mentions a little boy. One of his disciples, verse 8, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up and said, "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Don't you love Andrew? Because what he's doing is saying, look, if I can get this boy to Jesus, maybe Jesus will do a miracle. But he himself is not entirely sure. He doesn't know how Jesus might fix the problem. But at least if he can get the boy to Christ, something might happen. After all, remember that Andrew was there when Jesus turned water into wine. Andrew knew that Jesus had miraculous powers, and maybe a connection could be made. Now, I want you to notice in the text that Jesus used an unnamed boy. His name does not appear in the passages of Scripture, any of them, but here is an unknown boy, an unnamed boy, and Jesus takes his lunch and multiplies it. Have you ever realized that when you have something in your hand, all that that thing can do is what it has the natural power to do? But if it's transferred into the hands of Christ, it is then in the hands of omnipotence. And so here you have a young man who has a knapsack with his lunch. A boy just like we saw Tim a moment ago, or one of the children who runs through the hallways between church and Sunday school, and every church has that kind of boy and girl. Here's just your average boy on an average day, not understanding and not knowing that as a result of meeting Jesus, that he would be mentioned in the Scriptures and that Christ would use his lunch to do a tremendous miracle. Yesterday, many of us were here because of the New England dinner, and we had a sermon on Pastor Wearsby that was given by, a sermon by Pastor Wearsby on D.L. Moody. You know, D.L. Moody, who founded this church and the Moody Bible Institute, had only about the second or third grade. That's as far as he went in school. And Pastor Wearsby was explaining yesterday that when D.L. Moody came across a word in the Bible he didn't know, he stopped, made some comments, and then continued on the other side. Which wasn't too bad an idea. But the question is, why did God use this humble man, D.L. Moody? Why did he use a man who was able to pronounce Mesopotamia in one syllable? Why did he use a man who, in many ways unqualified, really had a great impact on Great Britain and America? Well, as we learned, it was Varley who challenged Moody one day and said, "Moody, the world has yet to see what God can do in a man and through a man who is totally yielded to him." And D.L. Moody said, "By the grace of God, I'll be that man." Wow. Could I just simply pause and say this, that the size of your lunch does not matter? You know, we like to compare lunches, don't we? I have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, ha, ha, ha. I haven't got barley bread, but I've got Wonder Bread in my knapsack, right? And I have filet mignon. I'm not bothered about these 2 small fish. And look at my lunch and look at your lunch. I want you to know today that when you present something to Jesus and you transfer it from your hands into His, the size of the lunch does not matter. And you yourself may be amazed at what the Master can do with that which is in His hands. Well, we've taken a picture of the multitude. We've seen their need, and we know now how the disciples are thinking. And by the way, don't you like it when Jesus asked that question, "What shall we do among so many?" And then the text says he asked this to test Philip because he himself had in mind what he's going to do. Some of you are in tight situations right now, and God is testing you. And did you know that Jesus is there in advance? I mean, He is in Hong Kong in advance. He is in the cities of the world in advance, knowing what He Himself is going to do. But meanwhile, we swither and we sweat because we don't know what He's going to do, but He's already got His mind made up. But let's take a second picture. The second picture is of the miracle. Jesus said in verse 10, "Have the people sit down," and there was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. And in the book of Mark, we read that they sat in companies of 50 or companies of 100. And Jesus then took the loaves and gave thanks and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. And when they all had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Wow, what a miracle.
This is Pastor Lutzer. The story that I've just been preaching about has meant an awful lot to me. And the reason is because when we think of that little boy who gave his lunch to Jesus, we're reminded over and over again what Jesus can do with that which is so little. And we should never underestimate what the Savior is able to do when we transfer what is in our hands into His hands, because His hands are able to take that which is small and make it great. Some of us look back in absolute amazement when we think of the way in which the Lord has used us, or used a word here, or a gift given to a person, or an invitation. And what God does is He takes it and He uses it mightily. And when we are able to finally transfer all that we are into His hands, we also discover that personally the pressure's off. Because from now on, it's not up to us, it's up to Him. There's a sense of relaxation. There's a sense that the anxiety level goes down. Because now, it is no longer upon our shoulders. We have put it upon His shoulders. So I need to ask you today, my friend, what is there in your hand? What are you grasping? What are you holding on to? Are you willing today to open those hands and to open your heart and to say, "Jesus, entirely, this is yours"? When you do that, I can assure you that He's going to respond to you and blessings will abide in your pathway.
Erwin Lutzer with part one of Jesus, Lord of Our Daily Bread, his fifth message in a series on 7 convincing miracles. Next time, more details about this great miracle. This series can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.